674. There is all after that initiation. Now, can you turn it around? Please turn it to the top of the table. Number 58. Number 58. This Marco will get this in the future.
Let us pray. Our wise and merciful God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, thankful for this day that you have blessed us with, and for this time that we're able to gather together to study your words and sing songs of praise to your name. Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings that you've given us in this life, but most above all, Father, we're thankful for your love, that you would send your only Son to this world to become our sacrifice on that cruel cross of Calvary for us. And we're thankful, Father, for your Son, for the example he is to us on living an obedient life to you, showing what true love is for you, Father, and that he was obedient to death on that cross. And we're thankful as well, Father, for the compassion that he showed for us, that he willingly went to that cross and suffered and died for us. Father, as we come before you, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we've done wrong in our life. We pray that you would help us recognize those temptations, to turn away from them, Father, to flee from them, and to follow more closely after you and after your Son. Our Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that are sick. We ask your hand would be upon them. We pray, Father, that if it be your will, that you'd return them the better portions of their health. Father, we're mindful of those that are traveling at this time. We pray that you give them safe journeys and that they can return back to us safely, Father. Father, we're as well mindful of those that serve in our military that are in areas of conflict. We pray, Father, for their safety and for their speedy returns. Father, we pray for Christians around the world, especially those that are worshiping you in difficult circumstances, difficult situations. We pray for their faith that they may be encouraged by not what awaits them in this life, but what awaits all of us in that next life, Father, for those as we walk here on earth in a faithful manner towards you. Father, we pray that you be with the one that will bring us a message this evening. We pray that the invitation will go out. We know, Father, that it will not return back void to you. Father, we pray that you would go with us through the remainder of our lives. Please continue to guide us as you have. And Father, we pray when this life is over that you would bring us into that home in heaven with you and your Son. And we pray all these things through his name. Amen.
For just a few moments this evening about repentance. When Jesus opened his ministry, we just studied in our lesson last week or so that when Jesus opened his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, as well as a couple of other passages, he began from that time to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I didn't personally really deal with this in the lesson at the time, and I don't think any of the other men did either. But it actually struck me after the fact to kind of think, why is that connection made? That they, with the kingdom about to arrive, the primary basic message is repent. What is the connection to that and the kingdom arriving? Well, kingdom in the scriptures and really in any other context, but certainly in the scriptures, indicates authority. Right? The kingdom is the authority of God. God, Jesus did not come, as we've said on many occasions, to reestablish the kingship of David and sit on a physical throne and rule his people from a city on earth. He was bringing his kingdom into the world, which was his authority, which did mirror what David had been like in Israel, but it was far greater than that, and it was a spiritual authority. He commanded authority over the physical. We watched him do the healings tonight, command demons, cleanse lepers, all kinds of examples that he gave of the power of his word. But his authority is primarily rooted in the spiritual. And this kingdom that he has is his authority over all things. So certainly he can command what is in the physical realm to heal and to cleanse a demonic, or to have fishes jump into a net and be almost prepared to sink a boat. Everything was at Jesus' command because he was the prime authority that came into the world. Within a kingdom, the king is the one who wields that authority. And Jesus over and over claimed the right to have that authority, that right to use that authority, and made people understand that they needed to recognize his authority. So when he's preaching that the kingdom is at hand, this spiritual authority is coming into the world, and he tacks on repentance, it would seem that that repentance is best defined to understand the rebellion against that kind of authority. God has had that authority since the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did he do it? He spoke it into existence. He gave us evidence at that time of the power of his word, just like these people saw when Jesus was reading tonight and speaking to them in the synagogue. They recognized the word of his power, the authority and the power that he spoke with when he commanded, when he taught, when he read. So when people were acting against what had been God had said, what he had told them, what they understood they needed to do, what could be understood they needed to do, they find themselves being in rebellion against God when they don't do what they need to do, when they won't live up to that commitment, when they won't accept the truth of the guidance that's been given. And so Jesus begins his ministry with the primary relationship that needs to be resolved by the work that he's going to do. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from your rebellion. Stop resisting the power of God. The kingdom of heaven that has been given to me, that brought me into the world to do what I'm going to do, is at hand. It's here. Of course, now on this side of the cross, we recognize the kingdom has come. The authority of Christ is fully established, and there is no authority to challenge the authority of Christ. Jesus in his day was seeing a transition from the old priesthood, the old way of doing things. Then God the Father was giving him the authority in heaven and earth, and Jesus claimed that at the end of his ministry. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And therefore you will teach in my name, you will baptize in my name, and I will be with you always to the end of the world. This is all Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. So the kingdom has come, which is why we don't pray word for word the model prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. When he taught them how to pray and used that phrase in the middle of the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It is well established now, and so we don't pray like Jesus taught them to pray in that day and moment, that the kingdom would come, that it would be fully established as he was intended to do when he came into the world. We don't pray that because the kingdom has already come. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, Jesus quoted, and I read this a lot, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom." Until you see that authority established, there will be people in this generation still alive when it is fully done. So not everyone was going to pass away that was hearing this before it would be done. So the kingdom of heaven has come. It came in the lifetime of those people. And Jesus said at the beginning, the kingdom is at hand. It is at hand. It is time. And this is happening now. So he told them to repent. Repent of your wickedness. Repent of your rebellion. Repent of your resistance against the authority of God. And now recognize that I am the epitome of the authority. God has given all power to me in heaven and on earth. And so to repent is to come to Christ. It's to stop resisting rebellion against the law of God. It is to come to Christ. Repent of wickedness, of things that are against the law, that are against the law of nature, that are against the law of God, that are against the law of Christ. Any of those rebellions need to be done away with. In Jude chapter 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, and I won't take time to turn there myself, but I'll ask you to, and certainly make a note. In Jude verse 5, he talks about the children of Israel, who God delivered out of Egypt, but then destroyed many of them in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And their unbelief made them not want to go into the land like he told them to do, and made them want to go back to Egypt like he told them not to do. And they found themselves in rebellion because they wouldn't believe that what God told them was the next step was the right next step. And so they needed to repent of those things. When they did, finally, it was too late. The judgment needed to be rendered. They had corrupted a whole generation by the time they got to Mount Sinai and got to the edge of the wilderness, the edge of the land. And a whole generation died away because they refused to believe that God's way was the right way. In Jude verse 6, he talks about the angels, which we don't know a lot of detail about. But from that verse and others in Peter and other places in the New Testament, we come to realize that there were a host of angels in heaven who rebelled against their place that God had given them. A wonderful place. Angels have a wonderful place with God. And those that are still there, Michael and Gabriel and the others like them, they're still in a good relationship with God. They are in a wonderful position to be greater than mankind. They put men in awe when they appear in the New Testament. But there were some that left. And Jude verse 6 talks about they left their habitation and God put them into chains because of their rebellion against him. God cleansed heaven of that rebellion so that there is no more. Everyone who's there wants to be there, is willing to be there, and works to be there. And that's where we want to go. And it is our repentance, our resisting the authority of God, that will allow God to bring us into his presence and keep us there forever and ever. But repentance is not just about that beginning step. It's not just at the beginning when we're turning our life around to find God and to recognize the plan of salvation that he has for us. But it is a regular corrective measure that we make in our lives. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, after the cross of Christ, after the kingship of Jesus is well established, the kingdom is fully come. Paul wrote in Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So this worshiping of false gods, they had to start repenting too. So it wasn't about just what the Jews had done in the past. It was about what was going on in the Gentile world, and they needed to put away their rebellions, substituting other things for God when they could have known and should have known who He was. Romans chapter 1 makes a very strong argument that they very well could have known and should have known who God was. But it was their rebellion to want to serve other things and satisfy the lusts of the flesh in those things that kept them from seeing God. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Simon the sorcerer was converted and was no longer going to be a sorcerer, but hadn't completely given up all of his attitudes and hadn't understood everything that he needed to understand and thought that he could buy the Holy Spirit to be able to perform the miracles that he had not been able to do before in reality, and yet had made money off of these tricks. And when he approached Peter with that idea, I would love to be able to really do what I was done so I can take care of people, and then he would sell his services that he had done before. Peter told him, "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Not just the actual action, not just the specific, but the thought of your heart. Because your heart, you committed to serve God, but the thought of your heart is opposite of God. You want to do exactly the opposite with this power that you see. You want to make it self-serving, and it's about serving God. It's serving His purposes, doing His will. He needed to repent. He needed to put aside this new rebellion after he's already been saved. It's an ongoing thing, a corrective measure that we take. When we find ourselves resisting God, when we leave things undone that we should have done, and when we do things we shouldn't have done, we have to repent and put aside those resistances that we have to God's Word. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, and in verse 16, Jesus is speaking there through the Apostle John, and he tells two churches what they need to do to fix what's going on in their congregations. Verse 5 of Revelation 2, "Remember therefore from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works." Go back to the basics. Go back to what worked for you when you were doing the works of God. But you're falling away from those things, and you need to repent, he says. "Or else I will come to thee quickly, remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." And he told the other church, verse 16 of Revelation 2, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." If they didn't repent and stop this rebellion, they were going to find themselves in direct conflict with Jesus. This is after they've become a congregation of God's people. This is after people have obeyed the gospel. So repentance is necessary to receive the gospel message. Repentance is necessary to turn away from a sinful life and become a child of God. And a child of God constantly corrects themselves to get back into a walk of life when they find themselves in rebellion or resistance against the truth of God that they've learned. Whether they understood it well or not, once they do, they have to repent. Repentance is a way of life for a Christian. It's what we do. It's the way our attitude needs to be. It is our outlook on life. If I'm doing what's wrong, I want to repent. And David Oglesby, I don't know how many times he stood up here and he said, and he'll do something and immediately stops and he prays. And, "Oh Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry." And he repents right then. That's what David's doing. He's correcting his heart. And he's showed us that several times, how he corrects his heart as quickly as he knows how to do. He feels that rebellion, and he doesn't let it fester and grow. He changes it, and he fixes it. So that's what we do. That was the beginning of the message. That is the end of the message. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is no longer at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. Brethren, we're as faithful members, we are in the kingdom. And it still takes repentance. That's the key to being faithful to God, is being repentant. We confess He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We confess He is the authority, He is the King. We're baptized in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. But none of those things will happen. We won't admit that. We won't do that. We won't confess. We won't be baptized unless we repent of the rebellion. So repentance is really the heart of the message. Repent and be converted, Paul is told. Repent and be converted. Peter told them on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repentance is always there. Brethren, that's the message I leave you with tonight. Not just an invitation to become obedient to Christ. That is necessary. If you haven't taken that step, this is a wonderful time to do that. And the first step is to repent. Having believed that you should, you repent. That's the first action that you take. Repentance. To come in contact with the kingdom and to be saved by the message, the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. And then we'll spend the rest of our lives making those corrective actions over and over. It's a call to repentance. And you're called to repentance and obedience tonight while we stand and sing.
Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come again and to be with our fellow Christians here. Guide us through our lives. Help us to continue doing what's right in your sight. Please help others that are not able to be here to be healthy, to get healthy, to have the ability to meet with fellow brothers and sisters again at some time in the future. We pray that you can guide the doctors and powers that be of the nation so that things can go right to calm down these pandemics and other type problems, not only with the health, but then other type problems with governments of this nation and other nations. Please be with the families of those that have lost their lives during the conflicts overseas. Please guide us and help us to be safe throughout our lives, to keep you current, where we can have repentance anytime that we find ourselves doing wrong or can hear others telling us that we're doing things wrong, that we can be acceptant of that. And we pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen.